So my name is Pastor Dawn, and I had the honor of being able to go on that trip to Uganda. And I got to tell you, when I watched that video before we left, I was a little worried about that level of energy that those kids had. And they really do have that level of energy all the time. But we had a great team that God provided and had an amazing time. So I'm excited to be able to share some of the stories of what we were able to do while we were there, but then also the many gifts that we received from the Ugandan people and the kids in this school as we were able to be there and minister with them. And then after my part, then Pastor Caleb has shared a video with us just to talk a little bit more about how, as a church family, why would we partner with ministries like API, and what does that mean for us as a church family? I'm going to pause for a second. Guys, I'm hearing a little bit of echoing. Am I doing something, or am I okay? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Okay, great. The other thing I want to tell you is, I'm sorry, today is sports day, and I'm excited about we're having a food time after the service together so that we can enjoy some time together, and I'll be there to share some more stories. So if you have questions after the service, I'd be happy to answer those. But I really wanted to wear my Ugandan scarf today, so isn't it beautiful that I got in Uganda? And if I'm being honest, I don't really actually have any sports clothing to wear, so but this is still very cool for me. So anyway, one of the things we do here at DSBC on our staff on a regular basis, but then also in some of our gatherings, in our classes and things like that here, is we talk about how we've seen God at work. And I love that time because I get to hear this variety of stories of how God has been at work in the different lives of the people around me in ways that maybe I wouldn't experience because I'm not in those circumstances or even coming from those perspectives. And I definitely saw that when we were in Uganda, how cool it was to see God at work in this country far, far away, when all we typically see are these pictures and these stories, wondering about, what is God really doing there? So today I get to share with you some of those stories of how God has already been at work in the Ugandan people through API and through many other ways that God has provided ministers within the Ugandan people. So I want you to know, we were not these Americans coming to bring Jesus to Uganda. Jesus is in Uganda. There are ministers in Uganda who are sharing Jesus' love and doing a phenomenal job. And these people in Uganda are vibrant, brilliant, beautiful, resilient people. But they're experiencing situations and life circumstances that maybe we would never experience. And so it was a gift to us as those people who went to serve and to be served to see how God would work in these circumstances that maybe would seem absolutely impossible to us. So as a part of the team, one of the things that we were learning about was just the ministry of a perfect injustice. We actually partnered with Abby, who was Abby Tracy then. So that was Abby and David Kikito that you saw in the video. They're the ones that run the ministry of API in Uganda. But back when we met Abby, she was Abby Tracy, this young woman from Phoenix, Arizona, whose parents Desert Springs knew well. And she felt like God was calling her to Uganda to serve. And she specifically felt like God was calling her to serve under Ugandans. So again, not having this perspective of I'm this American coming to rescue these Ugandan people, but I'm instead being called by God to partner with Ugandan people and to serve however God calls her. And so her beginning of her story was just literally being called to serve street kids in Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda. She served over her time in Kampala over 400 kids, feeding them, clothing them, reuniting them with families, and actually creating somewhat of a social worker system in Uganda that didn't already exist, to the point where the Ugandan government were calling her and the people that she was working with to help them with crisis situations in Kampala and help kids find homes. It was amazing how God was working through her when she's like, all I want to do is come and serve and feed kids and work with Ugandans. Excuse me. But out of that, 400 kids eventually started getting sponsored for school, and she started providing school for these kids. And some of those kids, way back, started 16 years ago, are now serving as social workers, as teachers, as agricultural experts, as ministers. It's amazing, the story. Abby was telling us a story that when her and David got married, there were 400 street kids at their wedding. Someone had sponsored the kids. Yeah, can you imagine? Someone had sponsored the kids to get a bath, to get shoes, to get a little suit that they could wear to the wedding. And that is her favorite part of the wedding that she shares. It's beautiful. But then, as I said in the video, I'm so sorry, guys. I think I'm going to need a glass of water. I've got a scratchy throat. If somebody could run one real quick to me. Thanks, Danny. I came back, and I think I'm still adjusting to the air here, but 7 years ago, God called them. David and Abby started to realize that Kampala had many ministries going on there to serve street kids, and so they started feeling like they were called to start a school in rural Uganda to traumatize kids and kids who didn't have opportunities for school, and I'm so sorry. And so through just a miraculous opportunity, God provided 500 acres for them to build this school on in this rural Uganda. Thank you so much, Tiffany. All the while, I might need it, Danny, I don't know. See, you just ask and God provides, it's awesome. So Abby's going, I don't know how we're going to do this. God provided 500 acres of land, and she tells this story that the guy who sold them the land was a businessman. He's a very serious businessman, and to this day, he still says, I don't know why I sold that property to you for so cheap. And Abby's like, I think I know why, but, and so they started building on this mission of providing for this community, and their mission, I'd love to read it to you because it's just beautiful. I think A Perfect Injustice is kind of an interesting name, and I was curious why she would choose it. And the mission is, A Perfect Injustice believes that abandoned, abused, suffering street children are a perfect example of injustice, and that every child deserves to be loved and safe. In Uganda, poverty, alcoholism, and violence are strong stressors within households. It is our goal to help families find the ultimate solution to their problems, and that is Christ, as well as equipping them with the skills that will allow them to thrive. And we saw this definitely in API as we worked with them. Even as we were preparing to go, we asked Abby, you know, what is it we could do? Well, how could we help? How could we partner with you? And she said, you know, we want to do, we've got this school. Our teachers are well-trained in the Ugandan education system, but we're working with traumatized kids, and there's some things that we think we could maybe do better. And so we'd love to do some teacher training, and we'd love to build our library, and then just be able to serve the kids and meet some of the families. And so that's what we're operating with. But as we had calls with Abby going on through the months leading up into the trip, we started to see that she was really had a heart for these kids that are traumatized, and understanding that in the classroom, teaching a classroom full of 25 traumatized young girls is different than teaching in a classroom of kids who had not experienced that kind of trauma. And so she's like, I don't know, is there something that you guys can do to help us understand better classroom management and how to understand how these kids are functioning and maybe even serve the teachers and when they're getting overwhelmed and working with these kids. And you know what? At that time, our team was built. Our team consisted of a school psychologist, two teachers who had specifically specialized in training in trauma in the classroom, one retired teacher who spent a good portion of her career teaching teachers in Colorado how to manage their classroom, and then me, a trained trauma therapist. And God had already provided. God already knew what was needed. It was amazing. And then the other part, she said, was that these kids, part of the Ugandan education system, is they learn English. There's 60 languages spoken in Uganda, and so they've decided, the country decided on one language. They decided to make that English so that they could do more commerce and different things like that. And so all the schools teach in English. And these teachers are saying, you know, we're trying to teach English, but we're also dealing with these kids who are traumatized and triggered and having, you know, these responses in the classroom. And we're just struggling. And God provided already. There were two teachers on our team who were specialized in English as a second language teachers. And so in our teacher training, just within the last couple weeks before we left, we were adjusting our teacher training to focus more on trauma, focus more on English as a second language. But God had already provided all the expertise in our team to do that. It was just amazing. I forgot I have pictures to show you. I'm getting so excited. I don't know. So this is the teacher training, one of the classrooms we're in. Side note, they currently have five teachers employed. They have four classrooms and one lead teacher. And this is the whole crew together. But they actually have room for 6 classrooms. So there's room for 50 more kids as sponsorships come in, just like Amy was sharing about. And then we were, isn't she cute with her little picture frame? So while all these teachers are in the teacher training, who's watching the kids? And so we decided, okay, what are we going to do with these kids, with the rest of the team that God had provided? They decided to do Splash Camp 2.0. And if you're new to DSBC, maybe you don't know, every year we host what we call a Splash Camp. We have over 300 kids on our campus. Amy and her team does an amazing job of sharing the love of Jesus, burning energy, splashing water. They do crafts and games and just do, again, learn about how much Jesus loves them. And what was cool was our Splash Camp this year, I'm getting ahead of myself, is prepared some treats for the kids who are going to be doing Splash Camp in Uganda. So God provided craft leaders for all these kiddos. Here's our storytellers, sweet, and games, lots of energy and music, hanging out with the kids. And then, as I said, our kids here wrote letters to the kids in Uganda. And so every day, we got to read a couple of those letters to the kids. And then they also created these bracelet kits. It's hard to see, but all the kids made a bracelet, a gospel bracelet, sharing the love of Jesus. So how cool it was for our kids here to be ministering across an ocean to these kids in Uganda, and just to be able to feel that connection for us to be able to provide. We also, here at Splash Camp at DSBC, there's some little bookmarks they made. Splash Camp here at DSBC, we have a special character that comes every year from California. He's got a special skating skill. I don't know, any kids in the room, do you know who our special character is that comes every year with the long, crazy hair? He's a little wacky. It's Duff. Well, a relative of Duff joined us in Uganda, which was awesome. His name was Mr. Mango. So I have a little video to show you. You can see Mr. Mango in action. Maybe. Here we go. Or you can just see my name. Here we go. Was Jackfruit. I don't know if you know him, it's JJ Joyner. We had God provided a lot of good energy to meet those kids while we were in the teacher training. But it was just amazing how God had provided all these ways in the energy and the fun of the kids. And I gotta tell you, as we were visiting the villages, we started hearing the Mr. Mango song. So I feel like that, you know, if we leave nothing else in Uganda, we've at least left the Mr. Mango song. But we also, while we were there, one of the things that Abby had called us and said we really need is we would love to have more books, because we know, just like it is here, education is a pathway to help families thrive in the future. And so education is an important part of what the mission of API is doing there. And I got to tell you guys, thank you so much. We had enough room for each of us to bring 2 suitcases, so that was 24 suitcases we could bring with 50 pounds each, and we filled every one of those suitcases with 50 pounds of books. We estimated it's about a half ton total books that were brought. We didn't get a number because there were so many of those little readers. There were so many books. There were so many books. But it was just sweet to see how excited Abby and the team were. We were labeling all of them, so it was functioning just like a library. All those little books? We labeled every one of them, and then we wrapped them because many of these kids, this is their time at school would be maybe the first time they had ever even held a book in their life. And so even learning how to hold a book, you know, if you've got a kindergartner, you got to teach them how to use books. So we wrapped every one of the books to make sure that they were safe and they could be used for a long time. And this sweet little girl reading her book. And there's Abby, so excited. And what I love about, here's different levels of the books, picture books, but then we also brought adult books as well, because Abby's heart, here's the library. Abby's heart is not just for the kids in the school, but for this entire community. And so her heart and desire is to provide this as a public library, again, not just for the kids, but for the whole community. And what a beautiful blessing to provide that kind of education for the whole family. So we were able to help with the library. It took us all the way into the end of the week. So thank you again for the many, many donations of the books and the suitcases to be able to bring them over. And then finally, one thing we were praying about that would be an extra treat, if possible, would be to provide a carnival at the end of our trip, the last day, similar to what we do here as Family Fun Night for Splash Camp. But there we would be doing a carnival. And so we were able to raise the extra funds through your generosity in order to provide that. And let me tell you, the community came out for it. We estimated, so we provided for the carnival a hot meal. Every kid got an ice cream cone, which is incredible. They got a soda. They got a piece of clothing. They got to do bounce house and face painting, all kinds of things. With the clothing that we had purchased, we estimated there was about 2,800 pieces of clothing, and we gave out every single one of them. And that was mostly to the kids. So we estimate there was probably about 2,500 kids there in attendance, along with their parents and families. And guys, many of these kids, I can show you more pictures. Here's the bounce houses. They were just everywhere. There were so many kids everywhere. And JJ got a little confused about what face painting meant. He was supposed to face paint the kids, but somehow he got it. He had a blast. It was great to have him and the kids in the bounce house. Oh, and here's another gift we left the kids in Uganda, is teaching them how to dab. Because, you know, that's very important. Here's a professional. She's very sweet. But I want to tell you, many of these kids walked over an hour in their families to be at that carnival. And there were four churches within Uganda who were there. They led worship. They told about Jesus. They hung out with the kids. Like, again, I just cannot reiterate enough the love and the passion that the Ugandans have to care for these families and to tell them about the love of Jesus. And so the carnival was a huge success, but I just want to again reiterate that we received so many gifts as well. God impressed upon us just how good he is and how big God is. I think for me, that was the biggest revelation, was just how big God is. I think about API and 16 years ago, God sending a 21-year-old girl from Phoenix to serve in Uganda to just feed street kids. Not just, but that's what she thought she was going for. And then 16 years later, running an organization that has a school that has employed social workers in such a way that the government often calls them still to help out with crisis in the community. And the community, when API comes to their village, the whole community comes out excited to see them, excited to see what God is doing, and just learn what they can from them. So one of the stories that keeps coming to my mind when I was in Uganda was a story that we taught at our splash camp here. I got to teach the preschool Bible, and one of the stories we share often in preschool is the story of the loaves and fishes. It's this very cool story of the disciples and Jesus ministering to a crowd of 5,000 families, and there's a point where the disciples start to panic, and they're like, Jesus, you got to stop talking. It's getting late. These people are hungry. Maybe there was a fear of a riot. Who knows? And the disciples are like, you got to send them away. And Jesus is like, we don't have to send them away. We can feed them. And the disciples are going, are you sure? There's 500 families here, more than 500 people, or 5,000 people. And Jesus is like, well, let's see what we got. And somebody willingly offers up some bread and some fish. And Jesus is like, okay, this is enough. And Jesus takes it. The disciples obviously are thinking this is not enough. We don't know how this is going to happen. But Jesus multiplies it and feeds all of these people with more than enough left over. And when I think of the story of A Perfect Injustice and Abby just starting and saying, okay, I'm willing to go feed these kids. I don't know what else you got. And then God just multiplying that willingness again and again and again until there's this organization that is changing the lives of an entire community of thousands upon thousands of people. And so that was impressive to me because I know sometimes here I can live in the very practical of God, there's not enough. There's not enough to do what you're calling us to do. But God just needs us to say yes. And I saw that in Abby's story. One of the ways I kept seeing that was through an opportunity we had to visit the families in their homes. And for me, I was a little bit worried about this because I thought, you know, here, maybe in America, we're very private people. And if there's an organization coming to say, I want to come to your home, and then I want to ask you a bunch of questions, we're a little bit cautious about that, maybe even a little bit angry about that, maybe a little bit cranky about that. But these families, I can show, I'm going to skip ahead. Here's some of our gifts of just hanging out with the kids, how beautiful they are. My clicker's not working, guys. Sorry. There we go. Oh, here's another gift. Michaela got a chicken. So really, just realizing how loving and giving, I mean, we're visiting, you'll see these homes, these are mud homes that we're visiting, and they're so thankful for us to come, so hospitable that they're willing to give what little they have just to say thank you. And so Michaela got a chicken, we gave it to another family, but for a moment she had a chicken. But in these homes, we were invited. They were generous, and many times the community, they shared dances with us, and many times, let me tell you a story about this, many times the community would be looking in, and so what was also impressive to me was not only were these individual families, but they were part of a community, and so anything that they were receiving, if they were receiving this time with API, they wanted to share that with the whole community. And so here, I want to show you, this is one of the crafts that the kids made. And in this mud home, we have this picture of, this is the only picture they have of their daughter. And so it was such a gift for us to be able to come in the home and see this picture. Also, we got to see, in most of the homes that we came to, scratchings of letters on the wall. So many of the questions we asked the parents was, you know, what do you notice about your kid when they get home? And they would say, oh, they're telling us all the English that they're learning, and they're practicing their letters, and they're telling the stories about Jesus. And we could see the evidence of that literally written on the walls. And every time we would ask these families, and let me tell you, I'm sitting on a wooden bench that is this wide with my teammate and one of the teachers from the school in a little bitty room with no electricity, no plumbing, and we're asking them what we can pray for. Many of these kids, the only meals they're getting is at school. And the parents are saying, wisdom to raise our kids and our kids' ability to continue to do well in school because we know that this is a future for them. And I was just so struck by that because I think for me, I would have asked for a lot of different things in that situation. But they are thinking on the long term. They're thinking about what is God going to do for my kid through these opportunities that he has already provided. So we had the home visits. I'm running out of time. There's so much to share. So again, if you want to ask me questions, join me over at the Student Center afterwards. I think the last thing that also was impressive to me was just API's passion to care for the land. So this picture is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But what Abby and David were telling us was this was once luscious jungle land. And there were elephants and giraffes roaming freely and monkeys roaming freely. And now it's only been, I think he said about 10 years. And now there's very little wildlife. We walked 30 minutes to one of the villages. There was no concern of any wildlife because there's no wildlife there. And much of the ground has been decimated just by farming and just trying to survive. And for Abby and David, their passion is to bring that life and that conservation back to that area because they know that that is the future for the Ugandan people. And so I love that not only are they caring about the kids for education, they're caring for the families and their future, but they're also preparing a land for the future of Uganda. And so that is one of their tenets of what they are working towards for Uganda as a whole. And in fact, again, the government conservation department will also often call them for some trainings and opportunities to use the land and different things like that because of the research and the dedication that Abby and David have for Uganda. And so I just want to share, here's a dorm, last couple pictures. Here's a dorm that they're building. Their hope is they've got a lot of kids that they sponsor for education. So they've got the 100 kids that they have in their school, but they also have several, maybe even hundreds of kids that they sponsor for school in other areas because either they're not living in the area or
they're boys that need the education, and so they're sending them to other schools. But their desire is to build a dormitory so that they can house those kids that maybe are living on the street so that they can also provide them education. So I believe she said this would be, this would house about 200 kids or families when it's done. And then this is one of our favorite places in on the campus of API. This is called the Negotiation Tree. And so we would often be driving by, and David would be sitting here with a couple men, either negotiating them to be better fathers for their families, or negotiating work for them, or what their future, just having conversation about what their future would look like. And then, again, the land. So they have, when they bought this land, they have planted trees, they've planted fruit, they have planted vanilla and avocado, and just they're just covered the land with ways to sustainably resource their school. They've also invested in agriculture. Here's some farms, some cows. Michaela got to milk a cow. JJ adopted one, and so you might hear about that when he gets back. And so, again, their heart is just for the future of Uganda, and they're doing that. I think many of us, maybe if you've grown up in church, you've been trained to, we need to tell people about Jesus, but they are telling people about Jesus through serving the basic needs of these people and sharing how Jesus brings order out of chaos, and that is how he shows his love, and as well as sharing just in our words and our actions. So as I was processing with the team, as we left, one of the things I was asking them was just, you know, what is God bringing up for you? And one of the scriptures that came to mind for our team was the one that says, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." There's much to do in this whole world, not just in Uganda, but here as well. There's much harvest here that God has already provided. God is already working. He just needs the workers. And so as you hear these stories, and Caleb will talk more about this in a minute, how is God calling you to be part of the harvest? Thank you.
Hey, Desert Springs, Pastor Caleb here, coming to you from my portable studio, which is also like the room I'm currently staying. I wish I could be with you today, but I can't, so I wanted to make this quick video just to say thank you and share with you a little bit about why it is that we partner with groups like A Perfect Injustice. So first, thank you. Thank you for those of you who supported the Uganda 2023 trip with your prayer, with your logistical support, with your donations of eyeglasses and stuffed animals and craft supplies and books. I think we measured it. There's like a half a ton of books that y'all donated. And those were sorted and shelved, and I think you heard a lot about that today as we members of our team gave an update on the trip. So thank you so much for your generosity. You really have blessed not only our team, but also the students and the teachers at Transform for Life Academy, which is run by A Perfect Injustice in Chivale, Uganda. So thank you so much for that. Also wanted to share why it is that we partner with groups like A Perfect Injustice, as well as many other groups around the world, and also many in Phoenix. This is something that we do not out of guilt, shame, expectation, or obligation. This is not something we do to make the brand of DSBC great. We don't do this because we think we're better than other people, and we definitely don't do this because we think we have all the answers. We do this first, because Jesus has loved us and has given himself for us, and it is because of his grace shown towards us and his powerful mercy and love that we respond out of a heart of generosity and service. We serve knowing that Jesus binds us together in a multinational, diverse, global family called the church. We are part of his global family. And so because of that, for us, this isn't a matter of charity, it's a matter of equity. We recognize we're bound together by our political affiliations, our upbringings, our perspectives, our socioeconomic statuses, our ethnicities. Being bound together by Jesus in a Christ-centered family means that we all have gifts to share. We don't do trips like the Uganda trip. We don't partner with strategic partners like A Perfect Injustice because we're like Santa Claus, where we've got a bag full of goodies that we can take every so often to places, leave the goodies and jet. We do this more like a gift exchange, where we recognize that each member of the family has something to give. Now, those gifts look differently for each person, but we do this recognizing that all parties involved are bound together by Jesus, and all parties involved are given gifts by Jesus to exchange with one another for the blessing of one another. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote that letter to the church in Corinth, was riffing on this theme that we approach one another not impoverished, but wealthy with gifts, though the gifts are valuable, maybe not according to the kingdoms of this world, but they're valuable according to the kingdom of God. And so these the difference in gifts, this manifold, varied types of gifts that we give are for the benefit and the blessing of each other. And so when we go on trips like this, it's not like Santa Claus, it's more like a family gift exchange. And so we, each of us have gifts that we get to give. So for our team, we receive just as much as we were able to give. The gifts we had in this particular case was like splash camp stuff. We ran a beautiful splash camp for the 100 students there. We hosted a carnival. We had some financial resources that paid for that. Many of you participated in that gift giving. We had gifts to give of some teacher training and education, but I hope that you heard this today and continue to hear it from those who participated in the trip. We received much more than we gave. And I want to encourage you to be thinking about how God has gifted you with gifts to bless and to serve and to love on others, not only here in Phoenix, but also around the world. I've just jotted down some that came to mind as I was praying earlier. Some of us have the gift of prayer, where we get to pray for God's healing or blessing or peace over someone. How might you be praying for others as a way of gift giving? For others, we have wisdom, or we have resources of goods that we can provide to meet people's material needs or physical needs. For others, we can use our bodies to bless others through doing labor and work. Maybe it looks like fixing up someone's home or doing yard work for someone or helping someone in using your body. Maybe for some, it's bringing a healing embrace to someone who's hurting. Still for others, it may be doing things like visiting in the hospital or writing out prayer cards to bless and encourage others. For some, it may be a gift just of encouragement to someone who's feeling low. So maybe others, it's a gift of faith, trusting that God can bring someone through something even if they don't believe it themselves. Or maybe it's a gift of generosity, where you're able to give financially to support the work that God is doing. Still for others, it may be a gift in the arts or hospitality, like hosting groups, maybe in your home or at restaurants or things like that. Maybe helping to gather and connect people, maybe cooking food, maybe praying with someone over the phone, writing notes of encouragement, setting things up behind the scenes for a program or a ministry, or maybe joining us for our next missions trip. These are just a few that came to my mind, but there are many, many more that are mentioned in Scripture and many, many more that you see throughout church history. So my encouragement to you today would be to consider the gifts that God has entrusted to you, and then to think and pray through how God is calling you to use those gifts, to give them in the service of others. How might you be a blessing this week using the gifts that God has given you to bless and to serve others? In 1 Peter 4:8-11, it says this, "Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied or manifold or diverse grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in all things. To him be the glory, the power forever and ever." So my encouragement to you would be to consider the blessings, the gifts that you have received from God, and how you might use those gifts in service of and in blessing of others. Church family, I love you so much. I'm so thankful for you. I love y'all so much. Can't wait to be back with you in person. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. Jesus loves you so much. I forgot to tell you one thing. However we can help you take your next step, it would be our delight to do so. If you want to use the Next Steps cards, for those of you that are joining in person, they're in the back of the seat in front of you. You can fill out those Next Steps cards. If you would like to talk to one of our ministry leaders about how you might use your gifts in and through the DSBC church family, whatever that might look like, we would love to be able to help you in that way. And so use that connection card. Let us know how to get in touch with you. It'd be our honor to do so. For those of you joining us online, you can use the contact form that's on the front page of our website, dsbc.church. Regardless of how you reach out, we would delight in helping you use your gifts to bless and serve others. Okay, this is for real. See y'all later.
All right. Well, I want to apologize. I know we have gone over, and so you guys are probably hungry, but the good news is we do have food for you. So if you can hold on for just a couple more minutes, I just wanted to point out in your bulletin today, we have this insert that says A Perfect Injustice, and it has the names of each one of their students on it. So I would encourage you to take that home with you, find a place where you'll be reminded to pray for them. If you have the opportunity to pray for them by name, what an amazing way that we can continue to support and gift this ministry. Right now, would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the work that you are doing through David and Abby in Uganda. God, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given the team that went there, Lord. We pray that you would just continue to work in their hearts and those seeds that were planted, Lord, that you would continue to water them and flourish both the seeds that were planted in Uganda and in the hearts of those who came back here to Desert Springs. God, we pray that you would continue to just work in our hearts and help us to see the ways that we can love and serve others. God, I want to just lift up all of those families who are part of that Ugandan community, Lord. We so often take education for granted, God. And I am so thankful, Lord, to just even see the joy that these families have in the gift that their children are receiving. God, we do pray for that wisdom for those parents, Lord, that you would give them the wisdom to not only feed their children and teach their children, Lord, but also, God, for their to receive the gifts that their children are bringing home from school. And God, we just pray that you would just continue to multiply the work that is being done, Lord, not only in Uganda, but around the world. God, would you just continue to use us as your hands and feet? God, it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.